I always cry when I get off here, so just a warning. Yes. So he already said I'm Mexican. That was gonna be a surprise. Just trying to. Okay. Yeah, some of you have already heard this story, but I hope God speaks through it in some way. And I'm just gonna pretend no one has heard it before. So yeah, I was born into a typical Mexican, nominally Catholic family. What that means is that on paper we were Christians, but in our everyday life we really lived or we behaved and yeah, we thought more like agnostics, I would say. And probably except for weddings and funerals, we were very Catholic. My earliest memories of believing in God are when my grandma taught me the Our Father and singing in church, just following my mom's steps. She was the first one to have like a big conversion. And then my dad followed. And then my brother and I, we didn't really have much of a choice because we were like 5 or 6 years old. So a big part of my childhood and my teenage years were spent at the parish. And that was just simply part of our life, like celebrating birthdays or eating Chinese food after Sunday, because that's a thing where I'm from. We just do that a lot. So going to church was just one of those things for me, at least. I remember I enjoyed it a lot. And as I grew older, I also joined the youth group there. And I discovered a more personal and a more mature side of church. I made close friends, but I also began to ask deeper questions. And at the same time, I started to realize that God wasn't just a family tradition. I also was confronted with the idea that if what we believed was actually true, then there were real consequences. I started having questions with people, with friends outside of church. I also became interested in books and literature that was just different philosophies, presented alternative ways of understanding life. And there was one short novel, actually, that I had to read and I had to analyze and study, and it deeply affected me. And oh, I forgot about this. Okay. Before. So this is a part. Okay, that's confusing. So yeah, going back, I had to read this novel and study it, and it really affected me. And it led me to ask one of the most important questions of my life. What if this isn't true? So the novel was this author, it was like his last novel, and it reflected his ideology and his constant struggle through his life of the need for meaning and his doubts and faith. For my 17-year-old self, that hit really close. And from there, I think doubt, there was a period, that period of my life, doubt took over. And I began to question everything, my faith, my values, the people I trusted. Slowly, the line between right and wrong blurred. And without realizing it, I started to live as if God didn't exist. I think it started as, let's see what happens if I live like this. And then, yeah, it was just easier. My life became about filling a void that I couldn't explain, and I hadn't noticed before. And I looked for happiness in pleasure, parties, alcohol, unhealthy relationships, constant stimulation. I think seeking constant like experience and for a while it worked. I thought I was finally free, but when everything went quiet, late at night, when I was, it was just me and my thoughts, that emptiness was still there. And in fact, I noticed it was growing. And I reached a point where I couldn't understand how I could feel so miserable. Because objectively, like, I had everything to be happy, or I had a good life. And the truth was, I think I wasn't looking for happiness. I think happiness wasn't enough. I needed meaning and I needed truth. I don't remember much of that time, but I remember a few days waking up feeling disappointed that I was alive. And it's just crazy to think that I thought that. So one day, my mom made a simple invitation. She asked me to watch a video. This was a testimony of a woman she had just seen at a conference. And at that time, we didn't have a good relationship. But for some reason, I agreed. I still don't know why I said yes. But the video was nearly 3 hours long. And I watched every minute of it. This woman was an older woman. She shared about a near-death experience that she had, where she saw the direction in which her life was going. And it was kind of like Ebenezer Scrooge, Christmas Carol, that kind of story. And even though she was much older than me, her story felt very familiar, the way she had drifted away from God and how she was feeling. It resonated deeply. By the end, that question returned, but it sounded a bit different. What if this is all true? So that was my thought at the end of that testimony. And if this was true, what am I doing with my life? So the next day, I decided to attend this conference my parents were at. A lot happened that day, but we don't have that time. I'll just share with you one specific moment. We were praying together. Both my parents were beside me, one on each side. And I think it's one of the few times, and one of the first times probably, that I felt God's voice very clear. And He was answering a cry, a prayer, or a cry that I had in my heart for months, where I've been feeling trapped. I was feeling exhausted and just unable to escape this despair that I was living in. And what I felt God said to me was, "You don't have to live like this. I don't want you to live like this, but you are free to choose. You can stay where you are, or you can be free." And I just knew exactly what those words meant. In that moment, I realized something profound, that the entire time that I thought God was absent, he had been listening, and he was patiently waiting for me to listen to him. After that day, my life began to change drastically. I made a conscious decision to turn back to God. My honest thought was, my way clearly isn't working. I'll give God a chance. In reality, He was the one giving me a chance. But that decision brought real concrete changes in my life. I am Roman Catholic. That day at the conference, I went to confession. I repented. I returned to the church. I stopped lying. I used to lie a lot. I began choosing relationships that helped me grow instead of distracting me. And I found a community of university students who were very serious about their faith. I began learning how to live in the spirit instead of a life in the flesh. And what do I mean by this? Before, I was living as if God wasn't real. I was focused on pleasure, success, control. Now I was learning to live as if God was real and as if eternal life mattered more than temporary satisfaction. And in the process, I discovered something that I had been missing all along, meaning. The meaning I found was not in living for myself, but in living for others. Jesus says that the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart and your mind and your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So during that time in university, with this specific community, I became very involved in missionary work with them. And it's very similar to this community. We would do a lot of mission trips, especially during Holy Week. We would go for a week to the outskirts of the city, talking to people about God, inviting them to church, organizing activities. And it constantly pushed me outside of my comfort zone, like sleeping on the floor, cold showers, being rejected, and having difficult conversations. I was physically exhausted for that week, but spiritually, I was alive. I experienced joy like I had never known while I was chasing happiness before for myself. So naturally, I wanted more of that. And on one mission trip, I remember I read this passage. I don't know if I read it before, but this time it hit differently. Oh, that was the trips, a bit of them. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" That last line for me just clicked, like that was what I was wondering so much about. And it just made sense. I understood that my life wasn't about success or experiences or even a career. My purpose was to follow Jesus. So I decided I'll give 1 year after graduating to serve as a full-time missionary. That was the plan, just 1 year. After that year, I would go back to whatever people did after a mission year. Probably would find a job, work towards building a career in architecture, hopefully meet a normal Mexican Catholic young man, get married, and start a family all before I turned 30. That was my plan. But the thing is, the more time I spent with God, the more I let him show me the way, my soul just kept asking for more. So after that year, I actually never went back to my hometown. I surrendered that perfect plan to God, and I decided to trust him. Ever since I had given him a chance, he had never disappointed me, so why would I not keep trusting him? What I thought would be 1 mission year became 8 and counting. Along the way, I met a man, not Mexican, not Catholic at the time, and definitely not normal, who is now my husband. God's plan turned out to be far bigger and far better than mine. One thing I've learned is that God never calls us to walk alone. When I tried to live this faith on my own, it didn't work. But when I listened, God always led me toward others, starting with my family, and then that university Christian group, and then a larger community in Mexico, and now here in Antioch. Now, I don't want to pretend that life with God is easy or free of suffering. But even the hardest moments when lived with him have been a blessing. I look back now at my 16-year-old self, searching for meaning, for love, for adventure, wondering if there was more to life. And through every season since then, God's answer has been the same: yes, let me show you. There are more questions, but also there are more answers. There's more sacrifice, but also more joy, and more pain, but deeper hope. And there's always more of God, more to discover and more to enjoy. And that keeps me here. Wow, 13 minutes. Well, that's me. That's only.
Oh, that was great. Thank you, Serena. I told you it was inspiring. I hope you agree, having listened. I was really struck by how Serena described how she was trying to fill a void in her life, but wasn't able to do that until she decided to give God a chance. She spoke about how she was running after what she thought would bring her happiness, but what she really needed was meaning and truth. I think many of us have experienced this kind of void and this sense that there must be more to life. She also spoke about going out of her comfort zone and kind of God challenging her to do that. And maybe that's where you feel you are right now, being challenged to step out of your comfort zone. And also about giving up her plan and trusting God, allowing Him to show her the way. And God's plan was far bigger than her own. Whatever it was that struck you in Selene's story, let's take a few minutes now to, in quiet reflection, to allow what has resonated with us to sink in. Owen and the band are going to sing a quiet song for us in the background. And yeah, we'll take a few minutes just in silence to reflect on all of that.